96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, August 23rd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we continue a conversation with the Bahamas Reparation Committee. We have some actually distinguished guests in, not in studio, but on via Zoom. We have Dr. Naomi Campbell-Dean. Right, we have Dylan. Watch me pronounce his name wrong. Miles. Hello. Dylan. Miles. There you go.
That's right.
And then we have Miss Gaynell Curry, who is a member of United Nations Permanent Forum for People of African Descent. That's a big thing, by the way, and it's something that we need to commemorate and celebrate her for being a part of this committee, because this is no rinky-dink thing. She is a part of this international body who is pushing forward this request. This side of the show, we're going to allow some callers. The phone lines are lit, so if you give me 1 or 2 minutes, panel, and we're going to allow these people to engage you, and then you can respond. They'll have them speak first, then we'll hang up, and then you respond to them, and then we go back and forth, and then we'll go to some of the texts. So let's go to the first call. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you know, I think we need to have this conversation, you know, because, you know, this, your panel seems to be, they seem to be descending into a deep, dark hole, okay? Because, you know, when I look at the topic of reparations, I don't need nobody to give me anything. I just want them to give me the land that my farm's attached to in Africa before my brother's slavery. You know, we don't need to have no reparations.
So you don't want now, any, one minute for me, sir. You don't want any reparation in terms of development of the Bahamas.
No.
So you don't. One minute for me. You don't believe the Bahamas could benefit from any development from.
We can benefit.
No. You just, okay. Either you believe in it or you don't believe in it.
No, sir. See. When we talk about reparations, we are speaking about it in the context of consequences. This is the consequence of slavery. Okay? I'm more concerned about what caused it. Okay? I'm more concerned about what caused it. You see, look, our academics, those persons who think for us, they have this entitled view. I mean, because even in your conversation this morning, one of your panelists made a Freudian slip, implying that perhaps we should go to the public treasury to address our grievances. You know, people are listening to what these people are saying, you know, and they need to get their story tight. You know, we can't have persons who put us into slavery. We hoping now that these same persons are going to pay us back. It ain't going to happen.
So let me have them address it. Thank you very much. Dr. Dean Campbell, why is it we embrace that other ethnic groups, other groupings can get reparations, but when it comes to Africans and Africans, people of African descent, that they don't deserve anything? Why do you think that happens?
And I think we need another show for that. A whole nother show. But the gentleman actually highlighted one of the points on the CARICOM reparations 10-point plan, which is repatriation, right? He said he doesn't need reparations. He just needs his piece of land in Africa. Repatriation is one of the points on the CARICOM 10-point plan, right? That people of African descent, enslaved persons, should have the right to be able to return to Africa and live and be able to, you know, because reparations is about repair, is about justice, and it is about repair to the point as if the injustice had not occurred.
Do you have any of the 10-point plan with you so you can read off so listening audience could be aware of what you're talking about?
I'm sorry, did you say if I have the 10-point plan?
Yeah, to read off, if you have it available to you right now.
I have it.
Sure. Oh, you have it, Dylan?
Yeah.
Then you read it off, Dylan.
Number one, first step is full formal apology. The good curry already mentioned that. Two is Indigenous Peoples Development Programs. That's like restoring language and such based on the description. Three is funding for repatriation to Africa. Four, the establishment of cultural institutions and the return of cultural heritage. Five, assistance in remedying, I hope I said that right, the public health crisis. Six, education programs. Seven, the enhancement of cultural and historical knowledge exchanges. Eight, psychological rehabilitation as a result of the transmission of trauma. Nine, the right to development through the use of technology. And 10, my favorite, debt cancellation.
But that ain't bad.
Monetary compensation.
That's not a bad list. I like the debt cancellation thing. It'll push the Bahamas forward tremendously. But why are we up in arms about this 10-point plan demand? That doesn't seem bad. That seems reasonable. It has to be that we don't think we're entitled to this. What do you say, Ms. Curry?
This was my first point, that what we're talking about is not something that's so revolutionary. Huh? It's not something that is way out there. And it's something that we speak of. It's our everyday life. What can be done? We didn't get the support in this area, in these areas. How can we strengthen the support in these areas? How can we ensure that those who benefited most of them, their countries are well developed because of slavery and because of colonialism? And ours in the region tend to be less developed because of slavery and because of colonialism. And we don't have this idea around debt cancellation. I'm so happy Dylan raised it. It's really an important point for us because we mentioned, as I mentioned, and MB also spoke about this whole issue around the climate change and climate action, right? So we're talking about, even when we are destroyed, we must continue paying. Cancellation is not a part of the discussion, and that's what we're saying has to happen. In fact, what we need to do is go out and get more loans at high interest rates. Right. So development for us, and all of this issue around, we made the connection already about climate change and colonialism and the Industrial Revolution. So I think that for us, what we're speaking about in CARICOM, that's why I kept saying, let's go back to CARICOM. Let's not talk about the individual stuff that persons are mentioning. I want this for me. It's not about that. How can those countries primarily, but not only, but those institutions as well that gained most? Not individuals, we're not necessarily saying individuals must pay this and that. If individuals want to, if they want to say, my family gained, and here is what I want to, how can I help? How can I give some of what we got up until 2015? How can I give some of that back? And that's individual families can do that. But that's not the focus really of CARICOM's 10-point plan. It's really targeting those states that led this process, that orchestrated it, planned it, carried it out. And as Naomi said, when we speak about Africa, they also suffered, right? Although you're right, slavery existed before the transatlantic slave trade. Slavery existed in Europe, slavery existed all over the world. But we're talking about, and let's not mix it all up, we're talking specifically about the transatlantic slave trade.
I understand that.
When the Jews were speaking about reparations, they were speaking specifically about the Holocaust, not all the trauma that has happened to the Jews all their life, right? So this is what we're speaking about. Let's be specific and let's not mix it all up. We're talking about what happened in the transatlantic slave trade, what happened during colonialism that perpetuated this whole idea of systemic racism that we as Black people face even today. We're not out to attack our Bahamian brothers and sisters, whether they be mixed or white or whatever. That's not the point. Reparations is really intended to move the development needle for countries that have suffered because of what they went through. And yes, it's about development. It's about healing the trauma that took place. And it's not only about Black people. It's about the indigenous communities that were here in the Caribbean, many that were wiped out or many that were sidelined and pushed to the corner. Right. And when you look at Latin America, it's exactly the same thing.
So we need
to be clear on what we're thinking about.
I asked you a question about the Caribbean in general, but let me get some of these callers' viewpoints in. Sure. I'm going to come back to you, Ms. Curry. So I'm going to write that down as I come back to you. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, CA. Good morning. Good morning to your guests.
Go ahead. Good morning.
Hello?
Go ahead. You're live.
Okay. My question is the English Crown aware of the demands of CARICOM? And what has been the response from the Crown? Are you looking for an apology from the King or one of his heirs? Because I think I remember either William or Harry in a public utterance said that he apologized for to the Africans for the enslavement or something like that.
I think he apologized and said that slavery was an atrocity. He didn't actually say he's sorry. He said it was an atrocity. I mean,
what exactly is the CARICOM committee looking for? And, you know, as a former history teacher, one of the things that we must remember that it was a different time. It was a different era. Was it illegal? It was a legal entity. That's why it required an act of parliament to... It was
a crime against humanity.
Yeah, but was it an illegal
crime? All crimes against humanity is illegal.
But who decides what is illegal?
The whole world now has decided that is a crime against humanity.
Today and not looking as it was back then.
Because they were vile and vicious back then.
But all of the European countries engaged in the slave trade.
And my point is they were wrong.
Is marijuana legal or illegal? Should it be legal or illegal?
My point is, it's a crime against humanity.
That was being argued. Morally, it was wrong. Legally, it was right. So now we are trying to get
repaired.
Compensated for the moral side.
Not compensated, repaired.
Of the issue.
Repaired.
But legally, it was nothing wrong with slavery, according to the people at that particular time. So sometimes we tend to mix up with our 21st century understanding and thinking. We're trying to put 600 years of the way people thought back then.
Let me let them respond then. Society. Let me let them respond.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, right? And I am all for remembering the past, but we must not allow our past to keep us from moving forward.
I can let Ms. Curry respond to that because she mentioned the 2015 date. That wasn't in the past. 2015, this was a couple of years ago. What happened in 2015 again, Ms. Curry?
In 2015, the government of the United Kingdom finally finished paying or made its last payment to the descendants of the colonial masters.
So this is, 18-something. We talk about 2015.
Precisely, 2015, and it's not that far away. I mean, it really is in our lifetime. Just fear the other day that they were still paying, and the government of the UK was still paying, and the families of those colonial masters were still receiving and saying thank you very much from the British government. They did not say, "Oh, we don't want that anymore. That's money that that's old money that happened in the 1600s, whatever, 1670s, 1800s. We don't want it anymore." They never said that. They continued to take it, and that's a point that I want us to always remember. It's not an old issue. It's never an old issue to go back and repair the damage that has been done. And you know, when we're talking about slavery, we have to be clear on what we're speaking about. I hear you that this was all of the European. Yes, they were all doing it. But we're speaking about what CARICOM is doing for those countries that are members of CARICOM. other regions are doing similar things. This discussion of reparations is happening in the U.S., it's happening in Latin America, and so it's not an isolated, and it is happening in the day too. Were traumatized, that they too lost. And I often say to my class, and I, when you think about it, just most of the persons who were taken were very young, 13, 12, 13, 14, 15. Imagine your child, you send them out to the food store and they never, ever, ever, ever come back. You will spend the rest of your life looking for them. Okay. And that happened over and repeatedly for years. And so to tell me that they should be punished further. I think they were punished. They received the same type of challenges that we had. And back in the day, it was legal. It could be argued that a lot of what happened during the Holocaust was legal at the time, quote unquote. It could be argued that there were laws in place by the government of the day. But at the end of the day, though, they still paid and they still were penalized for what they did to the Jews. So what we're saying is that even though it was legal at that time, we cannot say, okay, it was legal at the time and forget what happened. It is, and those acts are crimes against humanity, and no matter when they happen, they have to be addressed.
Ms. Curry, we have a couple more phone calls who want to engage you. My text line is being inundated by black behemoths saying, man, what about the Africans? We won't punish the Africans. I tell you, we need to go to some counseling. We scarred as a people. We need to get some mental slavery. Get us. But let's go to the callers. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good afternoon. Cecil. Good morning. And good morning, to all of you guests. I think I heard Ms. Kerr, Dr. Campbell, Dean, and Mr. Curry. Am I correct?
No, this is Ms. Curry. This is Dr. Dean, and this is Mr. Miles. Did I get it right? No, I get twice in a row. Go ahead.
Okay, right. Well, good morning to all of you all, and good morning to the nation. I just wanted to make a few quick interjections. I heard you all when you were talking on the other side, Cecil, about the Crown land, and I just laughed to myself, being considered as a part of reparations. I certainly don't. I see where it could be used as a means of reparations, but the way it is currently being structured and disseminated, certainly not. Certainly not. There's nothing equitable about how it is done at all when you look over the population and how it's distributed, right? And then, and so that would need to be reviewed entirely, right? The distribution of Crown land to behemoths as a whole. And then I believe that in terms of debt forgiveness, certainly, but I believe that there's more than one tier of that, because there's the value, there's today's value of the contribution that the slave trade made to the development of these first world nations. I believe that we should be reimbursed as a whole for that value. And then, of course, there's the debt forgiveness for the damage that these first world nations are causing to other small nations who have to survive just like them as a result of their industrial activities that takes place, which I think we ought to pursue separately as well. And of course, I appreciate some of the 10 points that you all were talking about, which I agree with, but I believe that if we're going to be seeking reparations in all of those areas where the slave trade contributed to the advancement and the development of these first world nations, whether it be economically, educationally, medically, socially, and every other way, as a society, evaluations ought to be placed on those, and we ought to be compensated. And then we can have real conversations as it relates to how do we undo the terrible stigmas that still exist amongst, in particular, the black race of the world, and how we view ourselves as a result of what has taken place over the decades and centuries of slave trade, how we view other ethnic cultures and how we value them over how we value ourselves. That's an entirely different consideration, which I think they ought to be also held to contribute towards restoring.
Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
Thank you very much, Antoine. Let's go to this next caller before I have you all respond. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning to you.
And good morning to your guest.
Do you believe in reparations? Do you believe that some of our debts need to get forgiven, that you should get access to some higher education and some development of the Bahamas?
Absolutely.
So why don't other Bahamians say no, man? Why they don't want no development?
Absolutely, because I live here, and then I'm no longer here. I have kids and grandkids that will be still here. And if it can be better for them than it is for me, then I would love to see it happen. You understand? Because the gentleman who was saying that he wasn't in for reparations, he just wanted the land that his family was on. Isn't that reparations at some level? He wants something. You still want something. You know, I'm thinking, I wanted to ask the lady a question. How long, if you have that information, how long did you think it take for the European government to arrive at the conclusion that they need to pay back the slave masters for, I guess, abolishing slavery, when they abolished slavery? How long did you think it take for them to come? Because it looks like it's taking forever for them to come to an agreement to do the reparations on the part of the persons who was mostly injured, you know, but those who didn't lose anything besides the free work that they had. The free workers that they had, it seems like it didn't take them too long to come to that conclusion that they need to be paid. You have any idea, ma'am?
Okay, thank you very much. Let me respond.
Shall I go?
Yeah, go ahead. No.
Okay. Yes, and thank you. Thank you for that. You know, this issue of the abolition of the slave trade was a long discussion. We had the trade and abolished initially, and then of course slavery after. But so in those discussions, and you if you look at you can find them really in the British Parliament records, huge and long debates for years about who should be paid and how much should they be paid. And it's sort of easy to see why they could come to the conclusion that we should pay the slave masters, because people, slaves, were property. And they were valued. And so when you look at slave registers, they had a value attached to them. The property had a value attached to it. The everything on the plantation had a value attached to it. So it's easier for them to quantify what is owed there, right? In terms of how did they come to that conclusion? But it was not an easy decision. The biggest debate, it was not a, sorry, difficult thing for them to decide that the slave masters should have be compensated, because it's a simple legal matter. They owned the property, and they should be, and the government is now taking it away by freeing the slaves and ending the slavery, and so they should be compensated for what they owned. So that was their argument in the parliament. And then of course now the argument was, and some people were saying, you know, we shouldn't have white speaking about it. I think this issue of the abolition of the slave trade was not only something that blacks talked about. Right? It was something that many different people talked about, including whites. And yeah. So the issue, yeah. So we have to know it's not something that is owned by black people necessarily. But the discussion in Parliament, and the discussion that I think was a very difficult discussion, is should we pay the slaves? What should we give the slaves? Because they, in fact, worked to enrich the slave masters, and that was a debate. And it was considered that they would not pay anything to the slave; they would just give them their freedom. And then let them go ahead and fend for themselves and work as free persons to build, pretty much pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. So this was a discussion that's not a new, this is a discussion, there's a new discussion. Reparations were being discussed in the 1800s. Should they get something? And if they get something, what should it be? And so this disagreement among the leaders, political leaders of the day, was that let's pay the plantation owners. But let's not at this time think about paying the slaves, because we won't be able to pay on them. Remember, paying the plantation owners was 40% of the British budget at that time.
Okay.
That's a big percentage.
Dr. Campbell, yes or no question, because we still have a lot of callers who are trying to get through to speak to you, to the panel. Should white behemoths like Bristers, Forbes, Smiths, should they be concerned about their retargeting their pockets?
No.
So we ain't talking about them then. A lot of people defensive. So I don't know if they should be concerned.
CARICOM's call for reparations is not a call that comes from the people in the countries. Our call has been made to former colonial governments.
So those Abaco and Spanish Wells people shouldn't be concerned. This ain't about them.
They're gonna get reparations too.
They can get their own reparations too. Okay.
Because they are Bahamian.
They'll benefit
because it's development. Okay, let's go to the callers. Pass the caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Mr. Nuri.
Everybody getting reparations. You hear? We get it. You can get yours. I can get mine.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. All of Long Island getting this. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Mr. Nuri.
Hello. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Mr. Nuri?
Yes, loud and clear. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Nuri, on reparation. For example, since the PLP took over the government, the black man took over the government, we've been hearing this thing about crown land, farm land, this and that and that. But when they give out the properties, it's normally they give it out as a lease. Now, there's friends and political friends and so forth. They give some people 40 acres, 50 acres, 30 acres, 1 acre, 2 acre, and so forth.
What is your point about reparations?
So you don't really own nothing. You're just paying a lease on it, and you start a farm on this. So why can't they just give me, okay, for example, I got 2 acres to start a farm. I got 2 daughters awake in college there.
Let's go to the next caller there. Producer, pass that caller through.
I just want to make a, because I think one of the points that he might have been trying to raise is that land is a really important element of revolution, right?
Yeah.
And so the reparations committee is, I actually attended the forum that the Bar Association had yesterday about land reform, because we are, as a committee, interested in this issue of crown land and see it as one that is important in our conversation around reparations. So I would invite everyone to follow the Bahamas National Reparations Committee on Facebook, on Instagram, we're reparations242, and on Twitter, so that you can keep up with the forums and the conversations that we are going to have. And crown land is one of those that we are trying to prepare for, to have a conversation about that.
Okay, let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, loud and clear.
Yes, good morning to you all. I am enjoying this discussion. I just hope it's not we all feel guilty about what we did, so we just want to have a discussion. And then eventually it just fizzles out because everybody who was discussing it are murdered or died already. We have criminals behaving today. But how was the black people able to see their fellow black brothers and sisters leaving and hearing that they are being mistreated and being tortured? But yet still,
let me pause you there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk in countries. How is one country able to see the next country warring with the next people? You can't say, let's talk about the European Jews and then the Nazi Germans. They're all white. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to say, how can one white people see the next white people? That don't make no sense. I hear you, but you're trying to argue. They weren't black people. These were different tribes.
Yeah, but that ain't, see, you won't talk about that. That ain't what I call, but okay. Anyway, let me just leave that alone. And
thanks.
When all this reparation money is paid, right, would we still be swearing allegiance and faithfulness and bear true allegiance to His Majesty and all of his heirs, all them dead people who was related to him, and we'll be around to clean up his stool whenever he does his defecation? Are we still going to be saying that?
I can let him answer.
Yeah, let them answer that.
So the conversation about leaving the Commonwealth or becoming a republic and reparations is one that I think that we can have at the same time. I think Barbados showed a really beautiful example of that. They became a republic well after they joined the CARICOM Reparations Committee. So, it's not lost on us that we are still members of the Commonwealth. But we think that those are conversations that we can have at the same time, right? We can call for reparations and still try and figure out which form of government would best suit us as we, you know, progress as a country.
One thing I love with Facebook profiles, they show your picture. So this has happened to one of our Conky Joe Bahamians, and they're asking this question, right? Hi, have you ever taken into consideration the abolitionists who fought and died in the Civil War to free the slaves, or do they have to pay reparations too? And for what?
Okay, go ahead, you know.
Again, you know, we're not targeting any individual.
They scared, Miss Curry. They scared. And you keep on saying that, but that's not translating to my fellow Conky Joe Bahamians. They say you're coming for their money and they ain't appreciating. And this talk about reparation is separating black and white Bahamians, and they don't like it.
They have no reason to fear. I encourage everyone to read the CARICOM 10-point plan. That's really important to do. I think it's important to, as Nambi said, to check out the Reparations Committee and their website and what they're telling you, so you don't unnecessarily you need to fear unnecessarily, because you may be fearing unnecessarily. The idea is not to therefore they should pay that. No, that's not what we're doing. We're looking at the persons really who orchestrated this. This was orchestrated in Europe. Really, the bottom line, right?
We're going towards Europe. Be aware about the people here.
And so we're not going to say this family gained more and this family didn't gain and so forth. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to separate it. What we're trying to do is heal. In fact, heal as a community as well. Even, you know, to talk about, when we talk about reparations, we're talking about how, I keep saying this phrase, but how all the boats in the harbor will rise, right? How will everybody gain? And that is through development initiatives, through development processes. And so you when you strengthen your schools, you don't say we're only strengthening the schools for the black people, or we're only strengthening the schools for the white Bahamians. That's not the truth. We're strengthening the schools and the educational system and university departments for all Bahamians, right? And when we decide to invest and help through from the contributions we're getting from your reparations, no, we're not saying that white people can't come to this hospital because only black people can come there. That's not what is being said. Anyone can come to it's everybody that will gain. And most importantly, I think where their fear is, not whether they will gain, but whether they will have to lose something. And the idea is, it is not intended for them to lose anything. Nobody's going after their personal wealth. This is something that the CARICOM Reparations Commission and their 10-point plan is really targeting what took place in Europe. The genesis of it all. These are the people who perpetrated this act, who came up with it, who planned it, and who actually implemented it. Now, others along the way are part of it, but we're not going after them.
Ms. Curry, you mentioned the Caribbean earlier, and you mentioned that we are part of a Caribbean forum. When this reparation happens, and when the reparation happens, the goal is to get reparation as a group, or as an individual Caribbean country? Is it going to be like a group, or all the Caribbean say, this is our reparation for us in the Caribbean?
I'm going to let Nyambi answer that as the chair. Go ahead, Nyambi.
Yeah, so the goal is for each country. That's why each country has their own reparations committee. The goal is really for each country to receive their own reparations. And when we look at the Brattle report, we see that there has been research that outlines the amounts, right? Because people always ask me, well, how much? But the Brattle report outlines amounts for each country, because each country has a very specific history, right? And a different background engagement. Some countries in the Caribbean.
You saying Jamaica can get more money than me?
One of the things we want to do is look at the Brattle report, right? Jamaica doesn't only contend with British colonizers, they also had Spanish colonizers, right?
Oh, yeah.
So these are things that we would have to address in full when it comes to how much or how that development would be meted out to each country.
And if I may just add to that, CARICOM itself is not only former British colonies. We have other countries that are CARICOM members, for example, Suriname, which is a colony of the Dutch. We have Haiti, for an example, which is a former colony of France. And so we have to think, because we're not all getting it from the same place. Because we some countries may not have had any connection to the Dutch. But the Dutch were in some places that you would not believe, right?
So you're saying we're fighting for Suriname and Haiti too?
I'm saying that Haiti is a CARICOM member, so the 10-point plan applies to them as well, right? I'm saying that Suriname is a CARICOM member, and the 10-point plan applies to them again as well. So when we're saying that each individual member of CARICOM will get a chance to determine how they go about this, right? There may be a decision that we're going to do something collectively, say through the University of the West Indies or through universities across the region or something like that. But just to say that we're not going to be targeting, it's not target, this is really, the 10-point plan is really, you know, looking at a sort of a comprehensive approach in terms of those who were involved in the process, not only in the UK, because the UK doesn't necessarily apply to Haiti. That's what I'm saying. So we have to think about it. It's not one solution from one state that applies to all CARICOM countries.
Okay, we have another telephone call coming through right now, but I'm going to go to Miles first. Miles, young people, your age, they want reparations? Surely, your age bracket's raise a man that finish with man.
No. I beg to differ. Because, I mean, looking at my favorite point of the 10-point plan, the debt cancellation, right? And I had this conversation with another comrade from another reparations group, shout out to Repair Campaign. A friend asked me, like, as a young person, what's, you know, one of the biggest reasons repair matters to me? And my point is that, like, we don't want to be born with the problems from the past, right? We don't want to be born into a country with debt because of some, like, because of some horrific war crimes that were committed against our ancestors, right? That's just crazy. If anything, we should get one. We should get, you know, money in, yeah, we are with, you know, in a country with, in a region with, like, bad debt situations,
inherited,
for example.
Debt.
Across the board. Yeah, inherited debt situations. I don't want to deal with that. I'm young. I don't even have, like, a lot of say, really, in what goes on in this country at all.
I understand.
So it's like, you know, I'm young and more vulnerable. I mean, I'm not that young, because I'm a recent graduate. Getting out of UB took quite a long time, but
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to this next caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. You have members of the panel, members of the Bahamas Reparation Committee, who is speaking to me about reparations, and also they're commemorating the 1807 end of the slave trade. And we can get some more information about that as we continue. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. You know what is the ironic factor here is the fact that here it is, the same European body sometimes turn around and blacklist us and have us on these listings and stifles our economic growth and development, when in fact that whole idea was stifled from the time enslavement of our people took place. And to the point where even in some instances, I think we find ourselves having to borrow, you know, from these institutions to the point where it already sets us back. And it's like the economic stranglehold is still prevalent. And it's like they don't want to see us get out of that. And that's why I believe reparation is so important, because their economic development and their advancement transpired as a result of the enslavement of the black people. And what happened as a result of that, they have put black people in a predicament where they now have to catch up. And without having the opportunities that they would have had, it caused challenges, and it's now being seen, and it's been seen over the years as time progressed. And so reparation is important to restore such tragic scenarios that transpired. And those who find themselves on the opposing side of it need to reconsider that.
Thank you very much, caller.
Yeah. Oh, can I add to that?
Go ahead.
Can I respond to that? Dr. Campbell can talk more about this, but you see this all the time with, like, African countries today. Venezuela's in the news right now. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to elect a more progressive governor, but the U.S. infamously is, like, interfering with what's going on with the elections there, and it's like not letting them take that next step. And just, you know, throughout Africa, I mean, Dr. Campbell had like classes and stuff
Yeah, and I can explore that because I want to talk about this inferiority complex. It seems that we, as Africans in diaspora, seemingly have. Mm-hmm. I want to know if slavery caused that. It's some kind of impact. We're speaking to Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean, Ms. Gaynell Curry, and Mr. Dylan Miles. Did I get the name again? That's four times. Yes, three times.
Three or four times.
Yes, they're part of the Gaynell. Curry is actually a member of the United Nations Permanent Forum for People of African Descent. And we're talking about reparations in general and their goal and objectives. But we'll be right back after a short commercial break and we'll continue the conversation.
Okay.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, I'm C.A. Nuri, and I'm talking to members of the Bahamas Reparation Committee. Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean is the chair, and I was talking before the break about this seemingly inferiority complex that people of African descent who went through that middle passage, descendants of that, seem to say they don't deserve any reparations at all. In fact, they have an inferiority complex where they, for some strange reason, I mean, strange, it's been programmed, colonialism programmed. White is right, right? That we are naturally inferior. And I would like to know, is that something that, because of slavery, that is that trauma, is that trauma we still dealing with? That's why we look at this reparation thing in a particular way? Because this seems to be an uphill battle you're fighting because a number of black behemoths say, man, I ain't want nothing. I don't deserve nothing. I don't care if it benefit the Bahamas and development, whatever it is. We don't deserve nothing. What is causing this?
So I think, you know, but this the trauma of slavery was not by accident, right? Like shock and horror was a tool that was used in the enslavement of people of African descent. And so one of the things that we are beginning to see and research is emerging around is that trauma is not something that just goes away, but that trauma can actually be imprinted on our DNA. And the epigenetics of trauma has real effects. So that if your mother experienced a trauma when she was pregnant with you, that trauma has been imprinted on your genes. And how does that trauma then play out, right? And then how does that trauma play out also if protecting yourself from that trauma was the way that you survived. And once that trauma ended, nobody told you, well, this is how you heal. Here is the therapy from the trauma that you experienced, right? There was no system. And now that the trauma has ended, and in many ways, the trauma did not end, right? Here's what you do. So it's no surprise that the ways that we engage still reflects that we are a people that experience trauma. It was what we used. It was how we survived. It was how we were, how we saved ourselves. And so now that we are emancipated, now that we are free, we have to understand that this trauma happened, what role it played.
One of these days, go ahead, Ms. Curry. I was going to say, one of these days, we need to have a conversation on how do free people think. But go ahead, Ms. Curry.
Yeah, I wanted to add that, you know, there were many, it was not just actually the enslavement that kept people, black people thinking a certain way, and white people started thinking a certain way about their superiority, right, and their privilege. But those, that whole, we spoke already about the vestiges of slavery. One of those vestiges really has to do with how it's really in laws that we enacted, where black people couldn't do this, black people couldn't vote, black people couldn't come to the store, black people couldn't buy land in this area, black people couldn't. So there was a lot of what black people couldn't do. Black people couldn't go to the restaurants, they couldn't live in the hotels, and so forth and so on. In our communities, and this is not just here, this is everywhere we went as black people, right? And so you can't use the public toilets, you have to go around the corner, you can't drink from this pub. So I'm saying that it was not just that, you know, you ended slavery and everything was, everybody's happy. Those sort of separation between the races and this whole idea that black is inferior and that we're not intelligent enough. First of all, when you think about it, when emancipation happened in 1834, we needed some extra time because we weren't quite ready, apparently. We weren't mature enough to handle slavery. We weren't sophisticated enough to be free. And so it was 4 years before we actually got this freedom. So how we actually, there's systems even today that perpetuate that, right?
Yes.
I've seen in my time, for example, property in this country or papers in this country that says not to be sold to a person of color, right? And so again, so this is you saying to yourself, okay, and it's a lot of it is psychological, it's psychological, right? And the psychology of slavery is something that's very deep.
Okay.
And how you get people, and when Bob Marley speaks of that, and you play the songs every time, emancipate yourself from mental slavery, it's not just dropping of the chains. How do you now free your mind and recognize that you are a free person and that you are equal to whatever the other person in the room can be? And so that everywhere you go, as a person who's worked abroad for 25 years almost, everywhere you go, you have to push yourself back much harder to be accepted as a black person, because they say in those institutions, persons from those parts of the world, all black people are not ready, not educated, not so forth and so on. And we're still fighting that. And what we have to fight against buying into that philosophy. And it takes some time. Yeah. It's still taking that time since 1838 to today. We are still fighting that because the laws that continue to separate us are slowly but surely coming down internationally for the first time. And having worked for the UN for 25 years, for the first time last year, I heard the Secretary General make the connection between the transatlantic slave trade and systemic racism, institutional racism that we face as black people today. He made that in a statement, celebrating the same day, actually, that there is a direct line that can be drawn for what black people experience today in terms of the significant amount of poverty, the catching up, the terms of people pay in terms of ownership of land and so forth and so on. That line is direct from slavery, colonialism, to where we sit today. He made that statement. I just thought I'd mention it. Thanks.
We might have to explore that. But let me get this caller first, and then I will ask the psychologist, is there such as white Bahamian trauma? Are they going through some things because of slavery too? And that's why the reparations need to come... need to happen in order for them to deal with their own trauma of what happened during slavery. But let me get to this caller first. Go at Campbell Diem, get ready to answer that, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it is a very, very important topic. But no, you don't wait till a man die. I feel like you need to show Mr. Sparky a little bit more respect. You need to do better than that. Get a man. You can wait till he's dead to talk good voting.
Unfortunately, he's not allowed on this radio program at all. I'm just trying to accommodate him.
Don't accept his call if he's not allowed. Let the man speak if you accept his call. Isn't that real?
That the producer missing slip. I ain't gonna blame Kermit for it, but I still allowed him to speak his 30 seconds. But that's Kermit. I can blame Kermit for that because Kermit should have cut him when he first called. But anyway, I gotta go. Back to you, Dr. Dean. White trauma. Is there such a thing as white trauma that they got afflicted during slavery that they need to deal with?
All right. There's the trauma of having experienced oppression, but that there is also a trauma connected to being the oppressed, the oppressor. You know, when we look at some of the horrors that happened in slavery, Dr. Vereen Shepherd and Sir Hilary Beckles, I know, were working on a book called A Thousand Ways to Torture and or something like that. And some of the things that were mentioned, honestly, I wouldn't even say on the radio at this point in the morning. But the most horrendous of tragedies, things that you probably couldn't even imagine, occurred to enslaved people. And so people that enacted these tragedies, right? How do you beat someone to death and then wake up the next morning and go and drink your tea and eat your scones and whatnot, right? There's a trauma, there's a denial that has to come in when you, or there's a, I would say, a psychosis of sorts that is required for you to deny someone's humanity.
Yeah.
Right? What happens to your own humanity when you try to deny that of another?
Absolutely.
And it's something that I don't think we necessarily have conversations about when we talk about slavery. But I think that is something that we should, because healing is possible there as well, right? And that's not a healing that I would want to deny from anyone. And I think that that's a healing that would be required for us, again, to move forward as a nation.
Looks like this is the end of the show.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you all coming on and being so frank with us. Any information on how to join this reparation group?
Well, the Bahamas National Reparations Committee is a committee that has been named by cabinet. So all of our members have been appointed by the government of the Bahamas. But you can join our movement by following us on our social media pages. Again, that's Bahamas Reparations Committee on Facebook. On Instagram, it's Reparations242. And on Twitter, it's also Reparations242. And so you can just follow us there and find out more information about what we're doing, how we're moving, things that we have planned. We have a lot of things on our agenda, and we just really want to really learn about what this reparations thing is all about.
Thank you very much. I was talking to Dylan Miles. I was talking to Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean, and I was talking to Miss Gaynell Curry from the Bahamas Reparation Committee here. Anyway, it has been Guardian Radio AM. Again, this is C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful weekend. Goodbye.
Take care. Power, 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 power.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.